What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. Coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona, I'm Jeff the Ninja. Next to me is Luke the Bear.
What up?
Joy the Girl.
Hello.
Marcus King Ginger Pittman on the ones and twos.
Hey.
Hey, we got two sick people today.
Yeah,
Marcus and
bad.
Joy are sick. Joy, is this like second time around for Joy? She was sick coming back from Kauai.
Round two.
Yeah, round two. I hope you guys feel better. All right. Also,
hey.
Also, of course, we have Zach Attack in the studio.
In the house.
You were out at the abortion mill this morning.
That's right.
All right. So I actually drove past you. I didn't tell you. I was creeping on you. I drove past.
Ah.
I drove past you while I was finding another Safeway to...
Right. On your way to Safeway.
On the way to go through the garbage cans in Safeway.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Let's give no context for
that. Yeah, you might want to explain.
No, I don't want him to.
Okay. Just want
I want everyone to just imagine what that could mean.
Jeff scouring the parking lot for stuff. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about today on the show. Today we are going to play some interesting things for you, so you got to stay tuned, guys, throughout the show for some interesting clips we're going to play. Before we do that, though, want to point you guys to ApologiaRadio.com. It's going to change very, very soon. You guys are going to see the new Apologia Studios website, easier access to stuff, much more organized, very, very beautiful. So that's on its way. Thank you guys to everybody who has been part of All Access. You guys, you don't know how much it means to us. Participating with us as a church is allowing us to get the gospel around the world. And we just get stories all the time that we're not able to share with you consistently about people's lives being transformed, people being involved in ministry now that they never were before as a result of listening to this radio show. And if you guys participate with us in All Access, you make all that a reality. So, I mean, this entire show, the TV show, that anything we do, going to a conference, like, that costs money. Like, I mean, it does. It costs money. A lot of times when churches bring us out, they can't fund everything. And so we take a lot of the cost in that. And it's important for us to do that because we put out content that blesses people and builds up the church. People come to Christ. And so it only happens because you are a part of this with us. So thank you. But all of that content and all the content coming forward is possible because of All Access subscribers and our partners.
Right.
And ApologiaStudios.com is underway, almost done. You got to praise God for all the guys that are working on this because they got so much happening right now. Apologia Studios, End Abortion Now, the website. I mean, this stuff's working around the clock, and all that's coming, launching soon. End Abortion Now is almost done, and you'll be able to go there, get connected with your church, and get involved with us, partner with us, ministry in the effort to end the slaughter of children across the country. So that's one of the ministries we're involved in. Letting you guys know, of course, ahead of time, that coming up very, very soon is the Mormon Easter pageant coming up Oh, can't believe how fast it's here. Yep. It feels like we just were there for this thing. Drove past there yesterday.
They putting it up?
Drove past there yesterday. The stage is up.
Wow.
Getting ready for their
how
big
long
event.
How long do they have?
A little over a month and a half. Yeah, and wow. So 100,000 people show up, probably more than at this point. Over the period of time, they're doing the Easter pageant in Mesa, Arizona. So we get lots of conversations we'll be sharing with you guys. So we'll also probably be doing some shows, reviewing some of that content. So that is coming soon. So just get ready for that. But we have lots of listeners from around the world. So I want to give a shout out to the UK. I want to give a shout out to Canada. I want to give a shout out to Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Philippines. Right now, we're looking at our stats on YouTube. If you haven't gone there yet, go to Apologia Studios on YouTube. Lots of content there that'll bless you. Live actual evangelism, actual encounters with atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all kinds of people outside the abortion mill. We have content there that is just watched all the time, all around the world. Let's see here. Taking a look at the stats here. United States, 38,314,617 minutes watched since we started Apologia Studios. 4,525,984 views since we started Apologia Studios 2 years ago. There's more than that, but that's just since we started the studio. United States, number one viewers of our content on Apologia Studios. Canada, believe it or not, Canada, 2,455,090 minutes.
Sorry.
Watched by his sorry guys. A lot of minutes, eh? United Kingdom, your third place. And Australia is in fourth place. Most minutes watched of Apologia Studios. And speaking of Australia.
Did we just make it a competition?
Yeah, we did. Come on now, Canada.
Australia's in actually in the house place. Today,
come
too.
On, South Africa. You're in a tight fifth. So Australia, mates, just in Australia, New Zealand a couple months ago. We've actually had lots of visitors from Australia, which is really, really interesting. People come all the way from Australia, which is a long, long flight, to get here to visit Apologia Church and to come to Apologia Studios. And we have some visitors right now from Australia. So I want to introduce our visitors. Say hello. Say your name.
Hello. I'm Tracy.
And my name's Tobias.
Tobias. Tobias and Chasey.
Love the accents.
Tracy.
Sounds like Chasey. Chasey. Okay. There was a T there. So you came all the way from Australia. Why?
Well, largely, I mean, we had a bit of a holiday time first up and did some work in Canada. But yeah, the main focus of our coming over here was really to spend time with guys like you and also Dr. White, we're really interested in. So
right on.
Been very blessed to do that.
Too. Have you gone to PRBC yet?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Oh, right on. Very, very good.
Yeah. They've been here for a while.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes. So all the way from Australia, how was the flight?
It was pretty good. It was my first flight overseas, so first big long flight, and I liked it. It was enjoyable.
Where'd you come into? Was it?
Came from Sydney to LA.
Sydney to LA.
Yep.
Right on. And how long was that flight? Goodness.
That was 14 hours, I think. Yeah.
14-hour flight. Sydney, Australia. Sydney looks like London in some places. It looks like, which makes a lot of sense. Australia, English. England kicked out their convicts, and they were like, go, we found a place. Go see if you can do something with it.
No offense to our visitors.
Right.
That's really what happened. I'm not, that's right. So you guys are.
That's how my family got there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Sheep.
That's right. England was like, we don't know what to do with you guys. You can either die or go to this place called Australia. What do you think? And so they went to Australia. And I think the first things they built were like churches and pubs. I think it's pretty much a bunch of convicts. So Australia in the house. So thank you guys for being here. How much longer do you have to go?
We're here. We fly out on April 9th.
April 9th?
2 months.
Are they going to be here for, is that during the time of the
Easter pageant? When do you leave?
April 9th.
April 9th. I think that's the weekend it starts.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome to have you guys there for that.
Maybe we can get you in right before you leave.
We'll just ask them to start earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Can y'all back it up?
You know what's crazy? I was asking them, I was like, how do you get off 2 months of work?
I know.
And they're like, no, you just quit. And when you come back, you just get another job. I was like, yeah, they kind of frown upon that here.
Yeah, just a bit.
A little bit.
Just a bit.
But that'd be cool.
I will say.
Sometimes you got to do it.
Surprised me, Australia, definitely by far beats the United States in food.
Wallows.
In food and like food quality. Like going to Brisbane
food
and
quality.
Sydney. Quality.
Oh, Joy, you are with us.
I was not expecting for like Australia, the malls in Brisbane and Sydney, like destroy our malls, like in just size and like options.
Is that because they have kangaroos?
And I don't know what it is. Something about Australia. In you guys mall, just do it well. Around. And I will say I was
like kiosks.
Completely surprised by the amount of coffee shops there are in a single mall in Australia. Does that seem weird to you, or is it just normal?
No, it's normal size. A lot of sort of like smaller deals.
Yeah. Like one mall in Brisbane had, I think Imogen and I counted like over 20 coffee shops, like in a single mall. I mean, you guys are absolutely crazy about your coffee.
Yeah, well, we have our own coffee truck now, so.
Yeah, that's right. We have a coffee truck.
Take that back
to
Australia.
Take that back to Australia. So, all right. So we have a lot to talk about today, important stuff, and wanted to share with you guys something really important happening right now in one of the states in our nation. We're actually going to bring on a guest in just a moment here, Matt Blocker. He is somebody that's been listening to Apologia Radio, and he's a big supporter of our ministry. And he contacted me, let me know that as a result of a testimony of this church and the work that we're doing, they got inspired there to get involved and to try to fight for the lives of these children. And so Matt contacted me and let me know about something that's happening there right now. So we wanted to bring him on to fill everybody in as to what's going on. And so let's go ahead and bring on right now Matt Blocker.
Hey, guys. Great to see you.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us on the show today, brother. So first of all, let us know about yourself and how you heard about Apologia Radio.
I live in Alabama and started watching videos on YouTube about apologetics, and of course came across the world famous message that you did, Jeff, about about saving babies from the abortion mills.
Right on.
The message that's heard around the world, or something like that.
Yeah, the sermon that shocked everybody.
That's it.
Yeah.
So from there, it just trickled down. I found out about Apologia Ministries and Apologia Radio, and have been just a firm supporter ever since.
Praise God. So you let me know today, when we talked a bit on the phone, that this is one of the fruits of the work of Apologia Church, which blesses us in a big way. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so watching what Apologia has been doing in the Red Door Ministry, felt really convicted about the lives that have been being destroyed in our country. And I'm a very strong advocate for the orphan care movement. And through that, I was able to meet here in Birmingham, Alabama, a Christian adoption attorney who has put together what we're going to talk about today, which is Proposal 16.
So let's talk about that. Proposal 16 in Alabama. Get us a little bit of background. What is it, and what are you guys trying to do?
Yeah, so I am just a normal, everyday guy, and I was contacted by Sam to help with this movement. And I am involved in contacting all the pastors are trying to reach as many pastors as I can in the state of Alabama, so that we can promote Proposal 16. Now, what Proposal 16 is the number 16. We did the math, and every day, 365 days a year, 16 babies will die in the state of Alabama through abortion. And through that, and through our convictions, we believe that the federal government has no authority over our state. So Sam, the adoption attorney, Sam McClure, drafted Proposal 16. I could read the proposal to you very easily. It's really short. I would love to do that. and that kind of just gives us a basis of how things are going to work.
Can you go ahead and do that for us? Let us know exactly what it is and what's the wording. How does it work?
Yeah. So here it is. It's a little bit wordy because it's a proposal, but here we go. Whereas the state of Alabama has always recognized the dignity of a person's life in the womb, and whereas the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of Alabama, and the 14th Amendment all acknowledge that life is endowed to all human beings as an inalienable right, and whereas the law of the state of Alabama defines a person as a human being, including an unborn child in utero, at any stage of development, regardless of viability. See the Alabama Code 13A-6-1. And whereas the Supreme Court of Alabama has repeatedly affirmed the value of protecting a person's life in the womb, and whereas approximately 16 persons in the womb are murdered through the practice of abortion by either suction or forceps every day in the state of Alabama, and whereas the federal government has never possessed the legitimate legal authority to mandate that the state of Alabama may not use its executive power to protect pre-born persons, now be it therefore ordered that the executive branch of the state of Alabama shall use all powers at its disposal to prevent the voluntary taking of life of persons in the womb from the moment of conception, and to be it further ordered that all past and future opinions or orders from any branch of the federal government that fail to protect the inalienable right of life of all human beings are null, void, and unenforceable in Alabama. And be it further ordered that no official agent or employee of the federal government or an employee of a private entity providing services to the federal government shall enforce any opinion or order interfering with Alabama's interest in protecting the inalienable right to life of all human beings.
Excellent. And so where is this at right now? What stage are you in right now in terms of getting this before the governor?
Yeah. So about 3 weeks ago, we put this together and we blasted social media with it. We just got our website finished.
Which is what? What's the website?
Yeah, the website is proposal16.com.
Okay.
And you can go there. You can get all the information you need about Proposal 16, how you can help us. We have been flooding the governor's office with phone calls for 3 weeks. We are calling him and asking him to implement Proposal 16. And, you know, we believe that the governor has all the power to be able to do this.
Right.
That he can nullify the overreaching federal abortion law, just like, and we can use some examples like Colorado and Washington have been able to nullify the marijuana law.
That's right.
Yeah, just like in the 1800s, Wisconsin nullified an unjust, overreaching federal law that mandated that a runaway slave to be returned back to the home state. Wisconsin said, we're not doing it. Federal government has no position here.
Nice. That's powerful. And that's a good point to be made, is that you have two states that have essentially rejected federal law concerning marijuana. You have Washington and Colorado both that have legalized the use of marijuana and are taxing it like crazy and making tons and tons and tons of money. I mean, put Colorado in a surplus, which is interesting. They're essentially ignoring a federal law against the use of marijuana and legalization of marijuana. And so obviously the states have the nerve and the courage to do it. And they're within their rights to do it, with states' rights. And the governor does have the ability to do something like this. And I think this is interesting because there's so many different ways that states can go about ending abortion immediately at the state level. You have, of course, the legislators themselves that can point to legislation that is already in the books, declaring babies in the womb as human beings and as persons. You have states like Arizona that already today, as of today, it is illegal to murder a child in the state of Arizona in the womb. It has been for a very, very long time. Nothing has changed that law. It is still current. It is still on the books. But we've bought into the lie that Roe v. Wade is a law that the states must somehow obey. And so there's so many ways to do it. This is an interesting way to do it. Go straight to the governor. The governor can just point to the law that's on the books today, and he can preserve the lives of children immediately. And I was talking to you earlier today, 16 children is obviously tragic. It is horrifying. 16 children a day die in Alabama, but that's significantly less than is being killed today in Arizona.
Yeah.
So you guys are already on your way, hopefully, to ending this. So have you got any idea as to how the governor is responding to this? Does he know about it, and is he contemplating what's happening right now with the governor himself?
Yeah, we have heard back from the governor, a very short message. The message was the governor cannot meet with you right now from his secretary. Wow. So he knows about it. We're definitely in his ear. And, you know, we believe that this comes down to a couple things. It comes down to either the governor is not really pro-life, or he's afraid of retaliation from the federal government.
Right.
Alabama gets $8.4 billion a year from the federal government.
Right.
Now, this is what we ask ourselves. Do you think that Vice President Pence is going to pull federal funding for something like this?
Right. No, it's important, and I think that what we've said since the beginning of this year and talking about what we're doing to mobilize the church to go to the front lines and save babies and also to speak into the lives of our legislators, we've talked about how what this is going to do is either in a state end abortion, finally bring about justice for these fatherless children, or it's going to expose the hypocrisy of those who claim to be pro-life and are voted in on the basis of their pro-life position. And so we do expect to see examples of that, hopefully not less of the latter and more of the former. Mm-hmm. We see that it's actually ended and people are consistent with their principles and what they say they believe. You know, many, many people vote for politicians and legislators and based upon their pro-life position. And what we'd like to see is those people who are pro-life actually act in accordance with their principles and
right.
Their professions. And so we'll continue to pray for the governor. Matt, what can we do to support you?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, please pray for the conviction of our governor.
Yes.
Here in the state of Alabama, that he will be convicted. He's openly pro-life. We have several quotes from him being pro-life. But obviously, the blood of 16 children every day are on his hands, ultimately. So pray for conviction. Call the governor's office. You don't have to be living in the state of Alabama to call the governor. If the listeners there would make one phone call, it takes about 10 seconds. And that phone number is 334-242-7100. And tell whoever you speak to, it will be his secretary, that you want to implement Proposal 16.
Excellent.
Like and share our Facebook page. And most importantly, right now, other than prayer, on April 1st, we are going to have a press rally on the courthouse steps in Montgomery, Alabama, where we're going to nail Proposal 16 to the door. And we're going to petition the governor to make a response.
Good. Good. Wow. Very, very good. Mm. That's important.
Nice.
All right, Brother Matt, thank you so very much for all that you're doing. You're just an encouragement to us and an inspiration to us. We're grateful for you and for the ministry that you're involved in right now. We'll continue to pray for you guys. We'll do our very best to make sure that we notify everybody as to what's going on in Alabama and try to mobilize the church to be involved with you. And I'll just say, are you finding that it's a struggle to get the church in Alabama involved?
It's the biggest struggle right now.
Yeah.
And that's my position with Proposal 16 is calling on pastors, calling on, people that are involved in their church, that are involved in the pro-life movement. It's hard to get a response.
Yeah.
It's really tough. So if your pastor wants to be involved, they can get in touch with us easily through our website, proposal16.com. We want to see this not only affect Alabama, but ultimately affect all 50 states.
Yes.
So.
Yes. All right, Matt, thanks so much, brother. Bless you, and just thank you so much for all that you're doing, man.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, God
thanks,
bless man.
You.
All right, praise God. So, hey, listen, guys. You're listening to the show. We have so much stuff in store for you guys. We're about to do a television show with Dr. Robert Carter on which subject, Joy?
We're not going to announce it yet.
We're not going to announce it. Okay, Robert Carter,
top secret,
from Creation Ministries International. We have all kinds of just a wide variety of topics we're going to tackle this year. All kinds of things, Apology Academy, things to equip you and bless you. But we want to keep upfront and central this issue because we know that if we don't engage in a consistent effort with a consistent message in this area, if we don't do so, we're not going to have any kind of effect
right.
in this area. And so you'll see us you're going to see us having shows with a consistent reminder to you as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, to continue to pray about this, to get involved, and to join with us as we try to mobilize local bodies across the United States of America to once and for all finally end abortion. And so I know we're talking a lot about it, but you're going to hear a lot of these updates because God is moving. Mm. God is moving. His church is mobilizing. And so we want to make sure that we sort of act as a hub for all of that to let you know what's happening. Continue to pray for Matt and the guys there in Alabama. And boy, we hope that this governor responds in a way that glorifies God. Mm. Be right back, guys. More with ApologiaRadio.com.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
But I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't wanna fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will pay. One day.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Nice having your own studio. We just finished a TV episode of Apologia TV. You can catch it at apologiaradio.com with Dr. Robert Carter, Joy's favorite person.
Mm-hmm.
In the world.
From Creation Ministries International, creation.com. We didn't know if we could announce it because we didn't know if actually it was going to work out the way we wanted to, but it did. We did a TV episode on the Flat Earth myth. Flat Earth myth. You may have noticed of late
that the earth is round.
And you might have noticed that YouTube has created a lot of conspiracy theorists about the Earth actually being flat, and just do it. I mean, just for fun. Type in flat Earth in YouTube
it's fun
search,
too.
And it will be interesting, an interesting 28 hours. It's a long, long...
There's so much.
So we did something with Dr. Carter on the flat Earth myth. He wrote an article for Creation Ministries International, and that article, he said he got more hate mail for that article than he ever has for anything else before, and it is now the number one search on Google when you look up flat Earth. So his article is number one article. Google.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's very happy about that.
He deserves it.
He deserves it. Yes, he does. All right. So, hey, we thought we'd do something kind of fun here. I asked a couple weeks ago, and I'm sorry it took so long to get to it. So I apologize to all of you guys that thought you were going to get it in the next episode. It's been a little busy around here. But I asked everybody to tell us your most embarrassing moments in church. Most embarrassing moment in church. I shared it on Apologia Radio, and then I also shared it on my page. And so Joy and I are going to go back and forth here for a second about...
Do you think maybe you should introduce...
Oh, I'm sorry. I am sorry. Okay.
We added a person.
We added a person to the show.
I care about you.
We lost a person, and now we added a person. So Zach is now gone, and he's busy at home right now. And we also have now in the studio, we have Summer White.
Hey, hey.
Geologians, baby.
Here we are.
Summer White. That's how you actually pronounce it.
White.
It's the historic way of pronunciation.
Yeah.
So Summer White. Sheologians.com. Now we have Apologia Radio and Sheologians together in one episode.
All happening.
One fancy episode.
Some sort of weird
super cyan
mixing of the world.
I didn't even realize how interesting that. And that's awesome. Sheologians, Apologia Radio together as one.
I'm the bridge.
You are the bridge.
Let's do it, Joy.
Right.
I'll go first. Embarrassing
I'm
moments.
I'm just going to let you know the first shall be last.
Okay. Most embarrassing moments in church. Nathan Swan, you said my cat peed
what is
on my...
with your, weird last name
It's been a long day. My cat peed on my pants the day... The first problem is you have a cat. Say
it. In your pants?
My cat peed on my pants.
On my pants.
My cat peed in my pants. Got right up in there. Okay. My cat peed on my pants the day that me and my wife got confirmed by the Archbishop of the Anglican Church. In North America, had to wear stinky cat pee pants through the whole thing.
That's pretty terrible.
It is terrible.
So on the Apologia Radio page, you said cringeworthy moments.
Yes.
So some of these are embarrassing that I have, but some of them are very cringeworthy. Like a guest pastor said, God sent Hurricane Katrina to prevent a gay rights meeting.
Oh, cringe.
Ouch.
Cringe. Mm. Cringe. Mauricio Arroyo said...
Who might argue?
Arroyo. That's how you say it. Arroyo. I didn't raise my hand in favor of receiving my wife as a member at our church. The church let me have it afterward. LOL. Mauricio, stop using LOL. You're a man.
True.
In my defense, I didn't think my vote counted because I was her husband. Conflict of interest. Joy?
Should men say ha-ha? Wait.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Yeah, ha-ha's fine.
Ha-ha seems... It's a little condescending, though, sometimes, isn't it?
No, I don't know. I think coming from a man, it's appropriate.
Okay, LOL, not appropriate.
Not appropriate for me. LOL,
got
you
it.
Ladies can have LOL.
But H-A-H is definitely condescending. Ha. That's condescending.
Ha. Or
well,
okay, H-A. I get that. It's very short.
H-A.
Ha.
Yeah.
Ha. Or if it's just by itself.
Yeah. Okay.
If you just say, like, ha-ha.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that was a pretty...
Oh, thanks a lot.
Hey, listen, if you ever get a thumbs up from me...
Oh, that's the worst.
You know that I am
you're
not
upset.
Happy with you.
If you ever get a thumbs
up... I am on the same page. When someone sends me a thumbs up,
when you
I'm like,
thumbs
what
up,
did I do?
And my
what
wife,
did I do?
My wife knows how much I hate the thumbs up and how if you send it to me, I'm like, that is the most disrespectful
Rude.
Thing ever.
It's like passive aggressive.
So yesterday, I wrote something to her that she wasn't happy about.
Big thumbs up.
My tooth. She wanted me to have it pulled and not a root canal. Because she spends way too much time on the internet.
Right.
Well, and she's like, and so my dentist, is the number one dentist in Arizona. He won all kinds of awards. And he was like, I said, how do I respond to my wife when she said, you need to pull it so I don't get cancer? Root canals give me cancer. He's like, tell your wife to stop spending so much time on the internet. Anecdotal evidence doesn't count as proof of cancer.
Right.
So then she writes me, did he pull it? And I was like, babe, he said, and I said everything he said. You know what she did?
She gave you a thumbs up.
She sent me a thumbs up.
Oh.
She sent me a thumbs up.
Well.
And so I said to her.
It was appropriate
for
how she felt.
In very pastoral form, I said, if you do that to me again, I'm going to break your little thumb off.
If you ever get a thumbs up from me, it's probably because I accidentally pressed
the thumbs
up.
Oh, it's an accident. I apologize. When I accidentally sent, I'm like, I'm so sorry.
It happens to me all the time.
I'm sorry I sent that.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't mean that. I love you.
No, I
I didn't mean the thumb.
If I accidentally said it, I'm like, oh goodness.
Because
gracious, sorry.
Because if in real life you said something to me and then I went.
Exactly. I would.
That's
like,
exactly the face I would do.
Nobody like, saw that. Nobody.
No, you know the right. face.
But
though.
You understand
Everyone knows
right now.
Face.
You know the face. The slow motion right. thumb. No.
Yeah.
Up. Okay, Joy.
Okay. So, Philip Carroll Sue. As a pastor's kid, I was prone to mischief at church. One Sunday, my dad and a couple of the deacons found me in my dad's study with the leftovers from communion. I was praying over the grape juice with the goal of changing it to wine.
Oh.
Busted.
Kinda, if you came to apologia, that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, that's
well, kinda... I think the point is that he was prone to mischief and he was trying to turn
it
into wine.
He was trying to make it into wine, yeah.
So that he could get a little tipsy.
Right. Mm.
Jenny.
Which we wouldn't necessarily condone drinking communion wine to get tipsy, right?
No.
Apologia.
No.
Nope. So.
I wouldn't suggest drinking our communion wine because there's been a lot of hands up in that wine.
No kidding. Did I tell you guys the first time I had communion at Apologia, I said something to Candy about it being wine, and she was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. And I was like, why? And she was like, that was just grape juice. I think it might be really old. We had wine.
She did not know what she was talking about.
I thought
she's
we had
messing
wine.
With you.
It tasted like wine. And she's like, it's
it
probably
was.
Just old. No, it wasn't. It was grape
she
juice.
She was wrong.
When I first
no,
started
when
coming
first
to the church.
Started coming, we hadn't made the switch
It was
yet.
Grape juice.
Then I want to apologize officially from the leadership of Apologia Church.
At least you didn't get
Jeff.
The at least you didn't get the garden herb communion crackers.
We had like sour cream and onion.
Yeah, one time.
Someone grabbed the wrong
vapors.
Box.
You like took that in the juice. You're like, whoa! Like, you watch everybody go up there and they're just like, oh!
All right. Jenny Huck Schultz says, I have many cringeworthy stories. She says, but with every newborn, I had 5 children that I took to church, every one of them filled their diaper during a most serious moment. I mean, you could hear a pin drop at that, and that sound was horrifying. I mean, who let the gorilla out? Push and grunt and the filling put the huggy to the grand test. How
it wow.
had to politely excuse myself to go change the wee babe.
That was very specific.
Joy?
Stimson Tribe. My daughter set my long hair and sweater on fire during a Christmas Eve candlelight service. So during Silent Night, my husband was beating the flames off of me, and others are going to grab water to douse the flame, crawling up my hair and across my sweater.
Whoa.
The whole sanctuary smelled like burnt hair for the rest of the service. She's now a teenager, and anytime she gives me grief, I just remind her that she set her mother on fire in the house of the Lord on the eve of the Savior's birth.
Nice. Holly Ridley. What's up, Holly?
Holly!
Holly!
Member of Apologia Church. She said, my husband, Jason, had to take our oldest son out during a very quiet moment for acting up. Right near the door, Jackson screamed out, no, don't spank me! Clear and loud, easily 350 people heard it.
Oh, Jackson's the best.
All the little girls like Jackson. He is quite the
I
lady.
Know.
Clementine
I know.
Has declared
oh, I know.
That she is yeah. he is her boyfriend.
He doesn't even know.
He knows.
Are we doing more?
Yeah, oh, yeah, more? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, Dan Berryhill. I was visiting a new church and had a little trouble finding where to go, so I was unfortunately a few minutes late for the service. When I walked in the sanctuary to sit down, the pastor stopped the service and told everyone to welcome me. Apparently, they didn't get many visitors.
Luke Harrison
Stop
says,
the whole thing.
We were attending a Pentecostal church early in our Christian walk and left because of, quote, theological differences. And we were told, quote, that's okay. I'm not a theological pastor, and this isn't a theological church.
No.
Oh, there's cringe. Ooh.
Yeah,
all
over
down,
that.
All over that.
Go ahead.
Benson De La Cruz Carlos. When a new babe in Christ, I'm assuming that means not a child, but an
babe.
Adult that was new to Christ.
An attractive chick.
Asked to pray in our Bible study and said...
Cheers.
Yes.
She's a hottie. That's a new babe.
She's babe. A babe in Christ.
Two T's.
She's
two T's.
She's a hot believer.
H-A-W-T.
Has a new babe in Christ.
H-A-W-T. Or Jeff and Candy's case, bib.
Babe. Was asked to pray in our Bible study and said, God, how are you today?
No, that did not happen. Yeah. That sounds totally like a hot new believer. What's up, God? How are you doing today?
That's hot.
That's so hot.
That's that. What was that thing? That thing you were accused of? That voice. What was it called? Do you remember that guy called you out for your
something about a scratchy? Somebody said like I have a scratchy.
It's that like this voice.
Yeah,
and this voice,
but
like...
Joy, that's how I sound apparently. But Joy doesn't.
So
thanks a lot.
Someone was like, "Oh, you said
uneducated."
You...
I sound uneducated.
Right. Someone was like, "You that's said you guys, you said you guys wanted criticism." So let me just say a really bad thing about the way you talk and the way you are.
I'm about to give you some construction criticism. I hate the way you sound.
Did you say construction criticism?
I want to give you some construction criticism.
Well, you start a podcast then, sir.
Right, seriously. Yeah.
Joey Venegas says, I was teaching the membership class at my church, the membership class, and we were talking about how to give your testimony to non-believer. I went first and called myself earmuffs. I went first and called myself a douchebag twice and never noticed it.
Oh, cringe.
Yep.
I don't have any more. There are a few more that I had that I thought were really hilarious, but probably not appropriate to read on air. So if you have more, you can get
Richard Torres says, getting into a fist fight with a brother after service. I know, but it happened.
I know. There was one I forget who it was from because I don't have it pulled up, but he was speaking, he wasn't the pastor, but he was speaking that Sunday and there had been like gossip running rampant in their church. So right before they did communion, he like said, you know, if you have beef with someone, go ahead and figure it out and then take the table. And like nobody moved, nobody did anything. And so I guess apparently he said something to the effect of like, all right, well, if I hear any of you gossiping, that person's getting punched in the face. But he just said it like completely
serious.
And so I guess 10 years later, he's still known as like the punch you in your face guy.
Hold on. There's some good ones here. Hold on. This is good. Nick John says, just a few weeks ago in the Sunday morning service, my 7-year-old foster daughter picked up my cell phone and I didn't realize she had it. I had put the ringer on silent as usual, but my phone is a droid and the ringer being silenced doesn't silence the apps. She opens the YouTube app. I still don't realize she's even messing with my phone. And she clicked on one of the trending videos on the homepage. Well, you know what nearly every YouTube video now starts with? An advertisement. Suddenly, on full volume, on full volume, we all hear, "Try Viagra Single Pack." From an enthusiastic voice, several more seconds of the Viagra commercial play before I can silence the phone.
On full volume.
On full volume. Raul Moreno Jr., I'm having a hard time today, former pastor at Name It and Claim It Church I used to attend, was picking up offering and quoting Malachi 3:10 and said, quote, "Bring your whole tithe into the whorehouse."
Aww.
Didn't even notice his slip.
Aww.
Interesting. Oh, okay, Joshua Farley says, my mom hit me upside the head with a Bible when I was a kid for not being quiet during service. I think it did some good. That's not really cringeworthy.
Mine was this past Sunday.
Yeah. You have one?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Please.
So this last Sunday, right, we're doing the baptism.
Yeah.
And I have January, and you know, the kids are like crowding around the little
tub. This was awesome,
tub.
By the way.
Yeah. Because there's nothing more exciting to kids
than the
than
tub,
like,
of water,
a tub of water.
Like, why are you standing in it, right?
Church.
I had to restrain Marcus.
Right.
They could not get away from the filled up thing.
No,
yeah.
They couldn't. So I have one kid, and like all of a sudden I notice the Clementine is gone, and I'm like looking around for her, and all of a sudden, you know, Jeff's in the middle of like baptizing this lady, and I hear Clementine, "Pastor Jeff, Pastor Jeff," and he's like asking the questions that you ask before you baptize someone, and she's like, "Pastor Jeff, Pastor Jeff,"
yeah.
And I was like, "Somebody take this baby, I need to run over there." It's just like right in the middle of the baptism, "Pastor Jeff."
It was fine. I'm right in the middle of asking the questions. Have you turned from your sin to trust in Christ? You trust in Him alone, and Clementine's like, Pastor Jeff, I can totally get in this water right now. That water was cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
Oh, man.
I can imagine.
Cold. You have no idea.
Water.
Way worse than when we were in the Pacific Ocean in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I'm not
colder
even kidding.
That.
It was colder than that. It was cold, cold, cold.
Mm.
Most cringeworthy movements. Movements.
Feminism.
I'm having
gay
a hard
agenda,
time. Okay. The most cringeworthy moment for I think us in church. Let me see. Was it receiving a bullet in the tithe?
What?
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Bullets.
How, can we talk about the dedication we did for our kids?
Oh, yeah.
That was the worst.
We brought our kids up to pray over them before
Turtle
the church.
Turtle and Evie.
Yeah, Turtle and Evie both.
Like, no, just Turtle.
Was it just Turtle?
Well, we were doing both. We were...
Wait, it wasn't both of them that did it? It was just mine?
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's just the one that had an accident.
Yeah.
What?
It was not an accident.
No.
He meant it. He was young enough to mean it.
It was mean, all right. We were doing a dedication for Turtle and Evie, and Turtle pooped his pants. This is when he was wearing diapers still. And he didn't just poop his pants. He was, like, dancing a jig.
Filling the whole
and, like,
church up.
He's literally, like, bouncing on his rear end. And it was so bad that we were like, we couldn't even.
People in the back were like, that boy needs some prayer.
We couldn't even like concentrate. Uh-uh. Like literally, Jeff, I was supposed to read something and he gave it to me to read and I was like, huh?
Oh, man.
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah, it was. All right, guys. Those are cringeworthy moments from church right here on Apologia Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back, guys. When we come back, we have some interesting clips to play for you guys. So stay tuned. Geologians and Apologia Radio teamed up right now, today. Apologia Studios, be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles, not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on a lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
A modest Yahoo kick lately, man.
You haven't even listened to his new stuff.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah? I gotta get that.
I have some pulled up.
I gotta get on that. Play that and we'll come back for the next one.
Oh, I will.
That's what we're gonna do. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
All right.
Romance. Right there.
That's right.
Joy and I
here.
Hey, by
the way.
If the theologians were on here, we would partake.
By the time...
You have been doing this romance thing long before theologians was the thing.
Estimated 2008, baby.
Established?
You mean established?
Whatever. I told you, man. My mouth is not even working.
Estimate. Too much value.
No, I was estimating when this all began. I was just telling you. I was telling you my estimate.
Uh-huh.
All right. So.
It's like Marcus and Legionnaire over here.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
By the time you hear this episode, we will actually be back from a conference we went out to in Moscow, Idaho with Douglas Wilson. Hopefully you guys will get to see the content for that really, really soon.
Estimated 7 days from now.
Estimated 7 days. Okay, so we thought we'd play an example of what not to do when doing evangelism. What not to do. Actually, this is interesting. I didn't pull it up, but we can at least talk about it. Planned Parenthood put out a video. What's it called? Across the Line? What's it called? Over the line?
Over the line.
Something like that, yeah.
And so it's really interesting. It's done. It's a 360 style video. So if you have your smartphone, you can, like, you know, you can walk in a circle and, you know, see the whole up everything. So it's 360 video. It starts off. It's actors, a woman inside of an abortion office. And the doctor comes in, super sweet, you know, professional, wants to help her. And she's like, what's wrong? And the girl's like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, women, people yelling at me outside. And so it's about the Planned Parenthood, quote, protesters. And so Planned Parenthood obviously is invested in this. And so then it cuts to actual footage where Planned Parenthood had two actors in a car drive to an abortion mill. And these are actual people outside of the abortion mill trying to talk. And so they blur their faces out, but it's like legit. These are actors going in and they're just trying to get, so they're like undercover. That's like, this is like their version of live action, undercover, checking out the Planned Parenthood protesters. And so they blur out the face of the person who's trying to talk. And I thought the person who was trying to talk to her did a great job.
Yeah.
He was super sweet to her. And was, you know, pleading for the life of her child and wanting to help her. So I think them putting that in there, like, made them look bad.
Yeah, these guys are so extreme.
Right, right. But then they switched to like a 360 video, very poorly done. Planned Parenthood has much too much money to be putting videos out.
It was like
1995 Sims.
Yeah, it was exactly right. It was like, and think of like the early days of motion capture from like 1997. That's what it looked like. But they took actual audio, and it says this is real audio from outside the abortion clinic, actual audio from people outside. And they were like, I mean, some of them were like awful. I mean, just the way they were communicating was just not the way that we would ever want to do it. And so some were awful. But one of the people that showed up in it was, Tony Miano. Tony Miano.
And he was fine. What he said was fine.
Yeah, what he said was fine. But the old man they had, he was like, young lady, what would your grandma be singing to you? She would put a bag over her head. And she would not like you. She wouldn't be associated with a grandchild as dirty like you.
Solid argument.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting. So, and then the motion capture was so cheesy.
So
with it.
So bad.
It was like,
so
it was bad. Just, it was terrible. Planned Parenthood, you need to do a much better job of, like, you know, you have way too much money to be putting out garbage like that.
Right.
So anyway, I thought, hey, let's show like what not to do. So this next one you're going to hear, I'm warning you now. I'm just warning you now. It's very irritating. Very hard to listen to.
And there's bad language. So just
We might bleep it out. But, you know, it's good to talk about, like, this is how not to evangelize. Great example, too, is outside the Mormon temple in Mesa, Arizona for many, many years. Dr. White was out there. I was out there. And lots of effective ministry out there. You were out there. That's exactly right. I don't know, 2003, 2005, somewhere around there. The street screechers showed up and just threw everything off. And these guys like Reuben Israel, he shows up and they drove all the way across the country to come and just basically troll the Mormon Easter pageant.
Dr. White.
Weren't they
KJV only guys?
They were KJV only.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And they showed up with like the signs that said like perverts, child molesters, and Mormons will burn in hell forever. And one guy was dressed like Satan with red paint all over his face, and he said,
he's seen Satan.
Yeah, and he had a sign that said, I'm your brother to the Mormons. Like, yeah, don't do that. So, these people show up.
Maybe he has.
They have. So, anyway, this is like what not to do, and just to lead us into it of, you know, things you don't say outside the abortion mill.
It's posted, hell-shaking street preachers.
Hell-shaking street preachers. Wow. So it's like positive from their perspective, I suppose. Okay, so here's like one example, a couple examples. Don't do this.
Weirdo. Sucker of big brown dirty eggs. Idiot. Licker of salmon fried fish. Moron. Raider of the lost fart. Rump roast. Licker of dirty chicken butts. Butt fish.
Listen, you insignificant square-toed pimple-headed spy.
You foul, loathsome, evil little cockroach.
Get up, you scum sucking pig.
Now that wasn't actual audio from Evangelism Encounters.
Really?
Although no. I think I might have heard some of that stuff against us on Saturday.
Yeah, but wait, actually that was Reuben Israel. Sorry. Okay. So Luke, please. This is outside of an abortion clinic, and this is how not to do evangelism.
Who do you think you are?
They're chopping up babies in here, and you're gonna stand there and act like you're a big man? Oh, you ain't gonna shut me up ever! I'm a child of God, and you'll never shut me up!
You killed doctors!
Oh, there's the killers right there!
You killed doctors!
You killed Jesus! You killed Jesus!
I'd love to!
Hell, you would, wouldn't you?
You killed doctors!
Screaming for Barabbas!
You killed doctors!
Shame on you!
You killed doctors!
God's gonna kill you and throw you into hell!
You wanna kill me?
Oh, God's gonna kill you! Don't worry about me, buddy! God will wipe you out.
You killed doctors.
No, I didn't kill nobody. But you killed babies.
You killed
doctors. How many abortions have you paid for, Grandpa?
You killed
doctors. How many have you paid for?
Jesus.
And you're worried about the doctors. Why don't you be worried about the children?
Jesus,
you're not worried about them.
Shut up.
Oh, you ain't going to shut me up ever. You demon possessed. Homosexual. God will wipe you out. It doesn't work. It don't work. You're talking to a man. A man who has risen up for the children.
You'll
never shut me up. You wicked, vile devil. Shame on you. Shame on you.
All right.
Oh, dear.
I don't know if that was the most effective. That was full Valium right there.
Yeah. So,
they needed some Valium.
Classic example of what not to do ever. You denigrate the gospel when you behave in this way. If you consider the fact that the Bible teaches about our condition, that what separates us from any unbeliever is the grace of God. So in the encounter you have with a militant atheist, a hostile pro-choice advocate, you're talking to a person that could be God's elect, could be God's child. They haven't been regenerated yet. And what's the winning shot? It's giving them the good news. It's giving them the word of God. And who does the work? It's the Spirit of God in their life. And so it's trusting God to grant repentance and faith. How does he do so? Through the message of the gospel. That's the means by which we get there. And so what's important is what we tend to fall as Christians off to, like, one of two sides, the wrong direction. Either we're really, really, it's all about the love of God, no confrontation, just love them, don't confront their worldview, don't ever argue. Christians would never argue. That's not godly. It's not righteous. It's a form of piety that essentially says kindness is the gospel. Like, just being kind, that's the gospel. Then they'll be saved because you're really nice to them. And so we fall off that direction. Or we tend to fall off the other way and we become a guy like this who just is crude, rude, unkind, mean-spirited. There is a place to be, the godly place in the middle, that always gives a clear communication of the gospel, speaks the truth, but speaks the truth in love, that tries to win the person and not the argument. It's going to a place and speaking the truth, not holding back. Like, for example, like going to an abortion mill with balloons and Precious Moments dolls is not the way to go. That is not the place to go there with signs that say God loves you. It's not. It's that you don't go to a place that's murdering babies and just start, like, lavishing the love of God on these women. Because here's the thing. They are counting on the fact that God loves them. They tell you that, I know he loves me. I mean, the women say, I know he loves me. He'll forgive me. Mm. He'll forgive me. Like, they're walking in there saying, he's going to forgive me. They're banking on the love of God. I've said this many times before. What you need to proclaim is God's law, his justice, judgment, and communicate the freedom that there is in Christ if there is repentance and faith. Communicate all that. So I think that people often have a hard time deciding, well, how do I go about doing this? Because I want to love them. I do love them. I do care for them. I want to help them. But I also need to speak the truth.
Mm.
Well, do both those things. Do both. And what I'm not suggesting is that you go to the abortion mill and you're just super passive, or go anywhere you go and you're super passive and you never speak the truth. You never confront error. Like, there is a proper time when doing evangelism to breathe fire. It needs to happen. But not every second is a fire-breathing moment. And if that's the case, if you're breathing fire the whole time, I think you should check your heart and ask the question, well, why am I really here? What's my motivation? What am I actually trying to accomplish?
And if you're breathing fire, you still do it with gentleness and respect.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, if the Bible says that the message of the cross is the stench of death to people who are perishing, if that's what it is, right, to the people who are opposed to God and at war with God, then why would you have to add with your own personal behavior more stench, right? That's foul. Like, if people should not be able to legitimately criticize you for your behavior. Legitimately criticize you. Now, they might make claims about how you were being, okay. But, I mean, if they're legitimately criticizing you because you are seriously a jerk, well, then that's on you. That's on you. That's not the gospel.
Their contention needs to be with the gospel, not with you.
That's right. Anger at the message is fine. That's fine. Be angry at the message. But if someone's angry with you because you're actually sinning, okay, then you need to ask God for help. Repent and go forth next time under the guidance of the Spirit of God, submitting to Him and loving people. So, I mean, here's the thing. You're not always going to get people that are going to say, hey, you were really loving to me. You're not always going to get that. But like every once in a while, if you're engaged in active evangelism, you should have people saying to you, hey, thank you for loving me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being so gracious to me. Thank you that you don't talk down to me. Thank you that you don't condemn me, you know, with your own behavior. Thank you that you obviously care about me. Like, that should be happening. If you're engaged in active evangelism, you should be getting a few people to say that. One of the greatest compliments that's paid to us is when we go to the Mormon temple.
Yeah.
People say to us often, they'll say, thank you for being so gracious to us. You know, yeah. We have people that come up to us and attack us. They don't know us. They come up and they start yelling at us, Mormons. And we have other Mormons that come and stand in our defense. And they say, no. These guys, if anyone's going to be here, we want it to be these guys. And that's encouraging. Like, I'm really, really grateful for that. I'm grateful for the fact that I can go out and have a meal with a Mormon apologist 10 minutes before, show up at the temple. I'm there preaching the gospel, and he's there to stop me.
And it's not like we haven't spoke truth to these people.
Right.
Like, they know we would say that they're going to hell.
Right.
They know that, and right. They still thank us and love us and stuff.
Yeah, they know we love them.
You know, in the same conversation at the women's march that I had, I talked to a gay Mormon and his friends. And his friends, I had the same conversation with him that I have with his friends, but his friends stormed off and were yelling at me and cursing at me as they left. But he, the gay Mormon, was like, thank you. I really appreciate your approach. Like, how can I get a hold of you and contact you? So it's just interesting how, like, the same message fell differently on their ears. How there was a few of them who just were hateful and angry. And then he, a gay Mormon, like, heard the message and thought that it was gracious.
Yeah.
And wanted to continue talking. So it's just interesting.
Mind if I take this on a little excursus, guys?
Let's go.
For a sec. So oftentimes Christians will have this conversation. You need to be loving to the unbeliever. You need to be gracious. You need to speak the truth, but be loving in the process. Be kind. Be gentle. Like, we have that conversation. But can we talk for a second about the fact that your dad just did a show on this yesterday? Dad sent a message. I was like, dude,
that
was awesome.
Fire. Straight fire.
Awesome. And, okay, it has to do with this. I don't know what it is about social media that does this to Christians, but something has got to start happening with us where we like repent and admit to how awful we handle each other online. Well, and I'm saying specifically online because I know for a fact that there are people who have attacked me personally online, and I don't even return the favor. I just literally watch them try to eat me up and then devour each other. It's actually sometimes kind of entertaining to see it devolve. But I know there are people who have personally, that the name of Christ, that have personally attacked me, that I know for a fact they would never treat me the way that they treat me online face to face. I know for a fact because I've actually seen them face to face, and they're gracious and kind and loving and respectful and gentle. But something happens when you get behind that keyboard, man, and all accountability goes out the window. All basic Christian conduct goes out the window. I mean, just something happens with us. And I'm telling you, I know that social media is new. And I mean, it's really, really new. And, like, I know that this is a learning process for us. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm seeing stuff lately that I'm just, like, I'm in awe. And I just want to say right now, like, if you say nasty things about me online, you might have noticed you've tried really, really hard to get me engaged and stuff. And I say nothing back to you. I don't engage in it. I don't do it. I mean, if you want to take little bites of me from afar, that's fine. I'm not giving you the meal. So I don't even engage because I just think it's worthless. It brings shame upon the name of Christ.
Right.
But let's talk about that for a second. We say as Christians, love the unbeliever, but man, are we mean as hell to each other online.
Well, yeah, it's scripture says that, you know, or Christ says that what comes out of your mouth is from your heart. It's the same thing. It's not, instead of your mouth, it's coming out of your fingertips. So the problem is, this hatred and stuff that people are, Christians are spewing in the name of Christ, even, is coming from their hearts. That's like pretty serious sin, heart issue that needs to be dealt with.
Right.
As a whole, I think, as a whole, especially the church in this culture, especially in the U.S., I don't know about like places like Australia, but definitely here in the U.S.
I think it's easier to get offensive or defensive or offended when you can't see someone's face.
Right.
Because then you read it and you interpret like a feeling or an emotion that's there because you're not seeing their face. Right. And then it's easier to say something to a screen than it is to say something to someone's face. Right. So I think you don't see that other, there's like that, not that accountability of looking in someone's eyes.
Right.
And I think a lot of times, my personal opinion is that Christians read offense into a lot of things that they shouldn't.
Right.
Because if you approach sharing the gospel as if it has something to do with you, whereas like when you're sharing the gospel, it's not about you.
Right.
Like that's why you shouldn't take it personally when someone, right, like when you're talking to Mormons, you're talking whatever, or even other Christians, it's like, the gospel isn't about you. If you make it about you, then it's easy to read offense into things, mm-hmm, and take it personally. And so I just think there's a lot of that. And communication is mostly, I mean, it's not all just words. There's all this verbal, physical stuff in communication. Even like the emphasis you put on certain words can make a sentence offensive or non-offensive. Well, when you're left to reading it online and you're not hearing how the person is saying it, you can read all kinds of stuff into, right, it that's not there. And then we become keyboard warriors because we're offended or we're, mm-hmm, defensive or whatever.
Right. I also think, too, there's an element of it that is kind of like a behind closed doors type of thing. I mean, let's all face it. There's less accountability behind a closed door. So
right,
we aren't as, like, it shouldn't be this way, but we aren't always as concerned about our sin that no one else knows about.
Yeah.
And even though you put something on the internet, everyone's going to know about it because you do it from your own home without anyone around you, it almost feels like you could keep it, right, hidden, like it's, right, behind a closed door.
Yeah. No one saw me do this.
Right.
God saw.
Right. Well, and people did see.
Right.
Right.
People did
they
see.
Did see. Right.
It may feel like it's behind a closed door, but when you put not. Something on the internet, it's not. It's to another person who sees
it's there.
It. So,
you know, I hate to be cliche. It's not really cliche. It actually applies. Jesus says, the world's going to know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And I'll be honest, I think that much of what the world sees and how Christians actually handle one another is not love. Mm. I mean, oftentimes, I hate to say this publicly, but I think I should say it. I mean, that's how I feel. There are unbelievers that I would rather hang out with sometimes than believers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
There are unbelievers...
Yes.
That don't know God, don't love Jesus, that I would honestly rather spend the evening with, have a dinner, go out and movie together, than I would many professing Christians. Now, I know I love them for Jesus' sake. I love them in Jesus' name. They're my brother and sister in Christ. But man, oh man, I'll tell you what. And you know what? I think the problem is everywhere. But I had to speak to my own group. I think reformed people are sometimes, especially online, some of the meanest people in the world.
Right.
Yes. Coldest,
well,
meanest.
Well, there's a difference between loving and being passionate. So when you get into these, like, sort of, well, when you are part of a group that puts like study of the scripture above anything else, you're going to discover that there's all this stuff to know about the Bible. Mm-hmm. So much stuff that many other groups or denominations, if you will, don't really necessarily care about. And so you get into the cage stage, as we call it. But being passionate about something isn't the same as being loving. And so sometimes you can cross this line. There's always moments where it's okay to be rowdy about something, but you can't just like jump on, and just because you feel like this deep commitment to something, it doesn't mean you're automatically being loving. Like, it's not... it's truth at all costs, but like, it's not like you were saying, Summer, it's not about you. It's not about being right. Like,
right,
being right has nothing to do with the truth.
Right.
And there is...
Well, when you make it about you, you start stepping on other people.
Right.
And it's like...
Well, and that's when it hurts you, because then when someone attacks your argument, you feel like they're
because you're taking
you.
It so personally,
right?
So like the gospel isn't about you, and if you're a Christian, your entire life shouldn't be about you. So it's like if this topic is really important to you,
right,
and it's not something necessarily other people have studied or put as much time or effort into, it doesn't make them automatically less of a Christian. But I think right. a lot of Reformed people will treat people like
right,
like
and
it
it's
does.
Because they're it because it I truly think it starts from this will really well-meaning spot where they're like finding out all this stuff and diving deeper into
right.
the Bible and who God is and his attributes.
Right.
And so they get this like hunger for knowledge, and that hunger turns into this like sort of ugly like starvation
right.
where they're just like attacking
yes.
attack mode. And that's not where we want to be. Cage stage.
Yeah. And there are guys that years ago I saw, I was like, these guys have serious promise, like ministry wise,
yeah.
like they have a lot of promise and they can do great things for Jesus. A couple of years have passed and I see them every once in a while. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they probably have no friends. They're not reaching anybody and they're in an echo chamber and I certainly don't want to hang out with them. And that's just because their spirit, just mean, unkind. And, you know, something your dad brought up, I thought was a good point. Like, let's say that you do know something that is true. It's in God's word. It really is true. And it's a side issue. It's part of the adiaphora. It's adiaphora. It's the external. It's not the fundamental essential stuff. It's over here. And let's say you're actually right. Like, that's actually the truth of God right there.
Right.
Your dad made a point. Well, how did you get that? How'd you get
right.
it? The grace of God.
Right.
And what makes you think that, like, that grace of God, that's everybody. Like, that God gave it to you by his grace. It is the truth. Mm-hmm. But what gives you the right to abuse somebody else
right.
because of that? Like, right. you know.
Just because you know truth doesn't mean you abandon the fruits of the Spirit.
Right. I mean, his thing is, too, and this gets me.
Well,
of all the groups of Christians that ought to be the most patient, most loving, most peaceful and, I mean, like, taking your time. It should be the Calvinists.
Right.
Like, it's germane to your whole theology. It's God
right.
who saves, God who changes the mind, God who changes the heart. I mean, honestly, it's God.
Right.
So what are you doing? Why are you so abusive? Why are you so mean? I'm not saying, I mean, if you've seen our videos, you know that we breathe fire sometimes. It's mm-hmm. necessary at times to just say what needs to be said, say it truthfully. But good grief. How we treat Christians in the Reform camp, oh, man. Sometimes I don't even want to go on some of these groups and see what they're saying because it's just, I'm just like, no, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I do not want to get involved in that jazz because
right.
no way. I mean, I want to have a life.
Right.
Okay, so we'll end the show with this just for a moment. Good example of a very hostile situation, very difficult. So we're not looking at like, you know, common coffee shop kind of evangelism situation. This is like the gates of hell. Outside of the abortion mill, Orlando Women's Center, this is John Barros. I want you to listen because a professing Christian comes out who's brought a woman in to murder her child. John's outside, 10 feet away from this guy. The guy walks up. I want you to hear it. I think this is a good way of describing, like, he's telling the truth, but he's loving the guy at the same time. This is the exact antithesis of what you just heard a moment ago.
I hear everything you're saying.
Good.
And I agree with it.
You don't.
100%.
You don't.
Hey, no, listen. Not everybody's in here to do that.
Okay.
Turn the camera off.
No, there's
so
no
you,
cameras
you,
off
you,
here.
You, and you.
There's no cameras
right,
off
listen.
Here. Yeah.
I have a friend in there.
Yeah.
It's not my baby.
Well, it's not a friend. You're not a friend, then.
Right? That's her choice.
You're not a friend.
You guys got to stop with the Bible this, the Bible
We're
that.
Not stopping.
Right.
Honestly, do you think you're the first guy that's ever come out here and said this?
Listen, I understand. I understand why you're here. Because I personally did not want to come.
Well, get her out of here. Have you looked the record up? Did you look up the record?
Okay.
You wouldn't bring a friend. You wouldn't bring your dog to a bet with this record.
Yeah,
it
is. These people here,
yeah.
they don't want to hear.
I know they don't want to hear.
Right. Jesus Christ himself never judged an outcast.
Are you crazy? Have you ever read Luke chapter 12?
Have you ever listened to
the
things
it says about
the
unfaithful servant that he's going to cut them in half and throw them in
the
hell?
Thief
what
was
are you
behind him
about?
On a cross.
Whenever
he says, if you are truly the Son of God.
Yeah.
He said, you are truly the Son of
yes.
God. Then why don't you get us down off these crosses? And the man that he's right
yep.
said, do not ask him that. He says, don't you see this man has done no wrong?
Right.
said, this man has done no wrong.
He doesn't.
And he looked back at the people and he said, you will be the first person to enter the gates of heaven. Sit
right.
At my right hand.
Right.
Because he's forgiven. He has grace and mercy.
He forgives those that are his.
Everybody. Here.
Everybody. Why is
man
there,
weeding,
why is
you
there hell? Why is there hell?
Are a child of God.
What is hell for?
Hell's for whoever, Jesus Christ, or God, whoever you want to believe in.
So that, there's a good example, just a few moments of that. That's John Barrow's preaching at Orlando Women's Center, 1 of 4, if you want to check it out. It's on YouTube. So I just thought, play it for a moment. Here's John Barrow's confronting the error. Here's John Barrow's engaging in a conversation. And this is John Barrow's not losing his mind. Right? He's trying to communicate. And this conversation continues on, and it gets really, really good. Engages in calling them to repentance, those, you know, all that stuff. So it's there. Yeah, you can engage in difficult ministry. You can do it in a loving way. All right, guys. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. Sheologians.com is where you get them.
Yep, yep.
And don't forget, guys, when you sign up for All Access, and I always say it a lot, when you do, you partner with Apologia Church. You make everything we do possible. Everything you see. You go to Apologia Studios, you look at the videos that are up, all the evangelism and outreach. You see that? You know how we did that? You. You helped us, and you made it possible. I'll say real fast. The other day, we put a video up. Someone made a comment. I don't usually watch the comments, but just happened to see it come up on my phone, so I saw it. And he was like, hey, like, I saw this last video. Was this just a way for you to get people to sign up for your All Access? I'm a huge fan of Apologia Church, hugely blessed by your ministry. He's like, I watch you guys all the time. He says, but I can't afford that money. And he basically was saying, I think it's ridiculous you're asking people to pay for... All Access. Well, let me just say, everybody that's participated in All Access, seriously, thank you. Because I'll tell you right now, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cameras I'm looking at right now in front of my face, that wasn't given to us for free.
Mm-hmm.
Stores actually ask you to pay for that stuff. The two tripods that are $500 a piece in front of us, those weren't free either. Neither were the studio lights. Neither was this desk. Neither is actually the building we're sitting in right now. And neither is the talent that we pay to work around the clock to put out this content. It actually costs money. Electricity costs money, believe it or not. So does water. Which, by the way, do we have water now?
Yeah.
So. Thank you, All Access.
Right. Yes.
No, seriously, thank you. And honestly, to do what we do and to get the content out around the world that's raising up ministers, that's starting ministries, that's bringing people to Jesus Christ, all that stuff, it takes certain tools to do it, and you're making it possible. So Apologia All Access, when you do, we give you all the TV shows, all the after shows, all of the Apologia Academies, and you're part of something really, really significant and awesome and amazing. So thank you guys. Anything you want to point people to for Sheologians right now, since you're on the show right now? Anything?
Sheologians.com.
Sheologians.com.
We don't have any paid for content, but we also can't do our show for absolutely nothing.
Yep.
So we are asking people to support us, partner with us on Patreon for all the same reasons that Jeff just said.
Right.
Sheologians doesn't cost as much money to make happen as
Apologia Studios.
Right. But it still doesn't cost nothing.
Yes.
So we have been saying something as simple as how many downloads have we been having a month?
We had 90,000 last month.
Okay. Yeah.
90,000.
So 90,000.
Yep.
So if 1,000 of those downloads gave $3 every month, which there's no other thing on the planet that you will buy for $3
nope.
a month.
Zero things.
Right. There's nothing. So $3 a month and Sheologians is good. Like we don't even have a seriously weighty, unattainable goal. And I've said many times that I'm sure God will exceed our expectations in many, many ways, monetarily and otherwise. But if you want to support Sheologians, you can do it on Patreon.
No, honestly, can I just add to that for a second? Christians who are listening to this right now, please don't check out right now and don't turn off the podcast right now. I need you to hear this. If about 5% of those listeners, 5% of you, 5 out of every 100, 5 out of every 100 listeners to Sheologians gave $10. That would be near $50,000 of income.
Great. And then
did you see how easy this is, guys?
Right.
And
then
that means, massive thing.
That means more content. Right. That means more time that we can spend in the studio. It just, it means way more stuff.
That means Summer can do more videos. That means Summer can do more things that created a healthy, godly controversy that got the gospel in front of people. That, guys, seriously, think about it. It doesn't take a lot. It really, really doesn't. But you know what it does take? It takes something. Like, you have to participate. And, you know, if I could just speak to you very frankly and directly, Christians, if you want to get the message of Jesus into the culture, you got to start participating. You have to start helping. You have to start being a part of it. And, you know, when the person said on YouTube, I'm totally blessed by this ministry. I watch it all the time. I listen all the time. It's changed my walk with God. He said that in several videos. And I actually know his name. When he says, I can't afford it, I say to that respectfully, with the love of Jesus, I'm not buying it.
Right.
Sorry.
And by the way, it's patreon.com/theologians.
Right. Patreon.com.
Yeah. Sorry, I got the Jeff Derbs over here.
Yeah, I know.
It's like contagious.
I'm giving it back to you.
Jeff just needed to
That's
have
what we
one.
Call the dirt,
just one victory.
Waiting.
We're about to record Theologians. So
hopefully
this doesn't carry over.
There you go. All right, so no, seriously, we're really humbled by every one of you guys. I can't thank you enough. I just can't thank you enough. Yeah, and if you knew what we knew about what's coming up this next year, I'd be so excited. Participate with us. ApologiaRadio.com. Go to Sheologians.com, guys. We love you, and we thank you so very much. Share this episode with someone you love. Catch you next time. Runs in the river cause I cleanse myself. Spill like ink from my bent pill. Use it, make my nerves stand still. That's no bull, cause no... Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself?
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
You can cut this, so just talk about
it. Yeah. But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112. Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.